This is the Slaw Sports Show on Anchor.fm, with weekly episodes highlighting and breaking down the biggest stories across sports. Make sure to keep up with the latest episodes and breaking news on Twitter by following at Slaw Sports Show, and keep up to date with the latest breaking news around the NFL. The official site of the show, knoble87.wixsite.com/slawsportsreport. And now, here's your host, Cole Noble.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to the Slaw Sports Show. I'm your host, as always, Cole Noble, a.k.a. Slaw. Thank you all for joining me on this Monday evening, afternoon, not quite evening, I guess you could say. But we are back here on the Slaw Sports Show. Had a little bit of some issues last Friday working on this episode that we're doing now. The stream crashed on us, Wi-Fi situation, network connectivity. Took the weekend, got it figured out. Also took the weekend, went back out to Panthers practice on Saturday at Wofford College. They were actually in the big stadium that Wofford College actually plays at with their football team. A lot of fans out there. It was back together Saturday, I believe it was, all 32 teams at training camp at the exact same time. You know, I think NFL Network had 5 straight hours of football showcasing throughout the entire league and all 32 teams at training camp. So it's an exciting time. I mean, we talked about it. We tried to talk about it on Friday. Football is back. We're now in week 2 of everyone back at training camp. So a lot of stuff to talk about from last week. A lot of stuff to talk about from even today as well. We got some news coming out. But we're continuing on with our NFL season previews. As you can see in the title, when you clicked on today's episode, we are talking about the NFC South. So the Carolina Panthers, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, New Orleans Saints, and the Atlanta Falcons. So I'm ready to, dive into these teams. We tried to last week. I got halfway through the Buccaneers before the stream cut out. So we're going to just back up, restart it from the beginning. So it's a full, concise episode that we're going to be talking about today. So before we get started with the episode, thanks for joining. Thanks for stopping by. If you're a regular, keep coming back time and time again, checking out our content on the Slaw Sports Show and you're live on YouTube or watching it on YouTube after the live stream, why not hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell. With the wonky schedule we have, some network connectivity, going back to school here in the next couple of weeks, that notification bell will keep you up to date when we go live. We got another episode this week. We'll be doing the AFC North. And then next week, the NFC North to wrap up our NFL season previews. And then that means up ahead, we're going to be breaking down game by game, every single game of every team's schedule, and pretty much win-lossing every single game until we have a clear season, breakdown and prediction of what we think will happen this season. And then we'll be ranking all 32 teams in their divisions, ranking the playoff teams. All concise on a spreadsheet so you all be able to see it as we break it down live and give those, ranking and predictions. So that's what's, on the way and what's to come. So thank you if you're joining on YouTube. Like I said, hit that subscribe button. It will mean a lot. Hit the like button as well if you enjoyed today's episode. And if you're on the podcast at Slaw Sports Show, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, anywhere you get a podcast, thank you as well for listening on there. It means a lot and the support goes a long way. So with that being said, I'm ready to get started and dive right into this. We will be holding off with the Deshaun Watson news until we figure out more of what's to come with the 2 to 3 days that the league has to respond to the 6-game suspension that came out this morning. But like I said, later this week, we will be talking more in depth about the AFC North and the Browns in general. So we'll hold off that discussion until the end of the week when we get more answers and maybe a more idea of what's to come with the Deshaun Watson suspension. So let's start off with the NFC South. And we're going to begin with a team that we saw firsthand twice last week with the first day of practice on Wednesday. And then on Saturday as well, with Back Together Saturday, we were able to get down there and check out some Panthers practice. So let's talk about the Carolina Panthers. And the Carolina Panthers, if you're going to talk about them, first and foremost, you have to talk about the, one of the biggest questions in the National Football League in general right now pertaining to training camp and what's going to happen toward week 1 with their season preview. And it's the quarterback battle happening in Carolina right now between Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold. Right now, still it looks like they're going 50-50 right now. The Panthers were back at practice today. in full pads, like we were trying to say last Friday that we think that was going to be the case. That was the case today. Panthers players were in full pads, per, you know, Matt Rhule's statement last week. So we got, you know, some more looks at Baker, some more looks at Sam. It still looks like, you know, there's pretty much even, it seems like, with these two quarterbacks. But at the same time, if you talk about these two being pretty much even, Baker Mayfield's been with the team for, I believe, 3 weeks now. Sam Darnold's been there for over a full season, has played against this defense and has played against the scheme of the, you know, the Panthers defense and been against all these guys rep after rep for an entire season. And Baker Mayfield, 3 weeks into it, is keeping pace with them right now. So I think, you know, toward the end of this week, I think Baker starts getting that heavy advantage in this quarterback battle and might end up start taking an edge of it. But the big thing as well has also been Matt Corral. I have been very impressed with Matt Corral, the rookie out of Ole Miss from when I've seen him, third round guy out of Ole Miss. Panthers, I believe, actually traded up to select him in that third round, if I can remember back to April clearly. But Matt Corral's looked great. I mean, by far the most athletic quarterback that is on this roster in Carolina. Very mobile, has a very, you know, fine and crisp release, way better release out of any other quarterbacks. On Saturday, he really impressed with what he was able to do, just going through the drills. He's still, you know, trying to get the hang of it in terms of trying to get some more reps. And that, like, with the, you know, team and team drills. But individual-wise, he's looked great. We're going to pull this up here real quick of what we saw from Matt Corral on Saturday, which was pretty amazing to me, being able to watch from Matt Corral. So check out this sequence of what we were able to see from him at Saturday's practice at Wofford. So good throw there. Keep it on the move. One-hand catch. Gets back under center, takes a snap, and look at that. Perfect ball, fade route, right in the net. Fans were absolutely going insane. So Matt Corral already making a big impact in Carolina as a rookie. I like what I've seen from him. I want to see him get some more opportunities, maybe with the, you know, with the twos. But of course, you got to figure out who those reps are going to be taken away from with the second team. But as it, you know, as regarding Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold, those two guys are still taking split reps with the first team, the second team, it seems like. We do have some notes from today's practice as well to get to. This coming from Ellis Williams of the Charlotte Observer, who just came over there this season covering the Carolina Panthers. Ellis says, Panthers camp highlights from today, Monday, August 1st. Darnold working with the ones, had a nice rushing touchdown on a design QB keep. A little bit of what we saw early in the season last year from Sam Darnold. Also threw a touchdown pass to Shai Smith. Baker Mayfield, on the other hand, working with the twos, got some first team reps during a team session. Like he says there, it's fluid, and it definitely is so far throughout the, you know, first week and into the second week. Darnold with two fumbles, however, during red zone drills on running back exchanges. Baker had three red zone touchdown passes, one to Rashard Higgins. And Rashard Higgins is who we want to talk about next. So keep in mind, that's, you know, what we have for the quarterback battle. We will see what's to come with these two quarterbacks. Like I said, I think Baker starts getting a little bit of an advantage in this battle toward the end of the week. But I want to talk about Rashard Higgins because I had a tweet out this morning that we're going to bring up here as well, just for context on the show, and something I want to talk about on today's show. Rashard Higgins legitimately has a shot to be the wide receiver two in Carolina if Baker starts. I stand by that. The connection and trust between the two has clearly been evident during the last week. The practice area I was able to go to, especially on Saturday, you know, I think Baker hit Rashard Higgins at least three or four times. I think three times for a first down during team drills, you know, going down the field. And the two play together in Cleveland. They have that connection. They have that chemistry back from their time in Cleveland. And I knew it. I knew it as soon as Baker got here that him and Hollywood Higgins would hit it off immediately yet again. And honestly, on my paper, I said that there's going to be a battle for the wide receiver three spot between Terrence Marshall Jr., the second year wide receiver, and Rashard Higgins. But I'm honestly leaning more towards the fact that maybe we see some Rashard Higgins wide receiver two action in Carolina behind DJ Moore. So maybe Robbie Anderson gets bumped down the depth chart potentially, you know, once the season progresses. But just think about it, that week one rivalry revenge matchup, Baker Mayfield and Hollywood Higgins against the Cleveland Browns. The two have been hitting it off great, it seems like. And like I said here, if Baker starts, Rashard Higgins has a legitimate shot to be that wide receiver too. Now, on the other hand, you know, Robbie Anderson has had some flashes as well during practice. Terrence Marshall, I believe, had a good day today. It seems like from what I read from the beat reporters that were at practice in Carolina today, DJ Moore, he still looked great as always. So that, you know, is pretty much the wide receiver group. Shai Smith, CJ Saunders, and Andre Roberts. Those guys were working with the, you know, punt return team, a little bit of McCaffrey and DJ Moore early last week. I think, you know, the first day I was there on Wednesday, very early in practice, DJ Moore and McCaffrey were working with that unit with the punt returners. I don't think that's been the case since then in Carolina. Certainly wasn't on Saturday. So it looks like it's going to be Andre Roberts and Shai Smith battling it out for that punt return job on special teams. Probably going to go with Andre Roberts. Seems like that's when they brought him in the first place. But now for the running backs, Christian McCaffrey, he's a beast. The real question with Christian McCaffrey is how long he can stay healthy. Can he go another full season? But when he's on the field, this is a completely different football team. Chuba Hubbard and Deonta Foreman, I honestly think after seeing it on Saturday, those two are going to have a good battle to see who's going to be that number two running back. You know, Deonta Foreman formerly backed up Derrick Henry in Tennessee. He had some big runs on Saturday, but also Chuba Hubbard had some couple, you know, runs that he was able to rip off as well in practice. Those two might actually be a more of a battle than I initially thought as that second running back position, you know, on the depth chart, how it will shake out come the start of the season. But McCaffrey, like I said, when he's on the field, this team is just so much better. And when he's off the field, this team is so much worse. You know, no matter who the quarterback's going to be, if it's Sam, if it's Baker, they're both going to have to need Christian McCaffrey in this offense. And that offense is going to be centered around Christian McCaffrey and what he can do on the football field. So hopefully McCaffrey's back, having a full healthy season as well in Carolina. And that shakes up the offense. You know, they still have Ian Thomas, Tommy Trimble, Trimble the second year, tight end as well. Those two guys will probably be used interchangeably as well with the offense come the start of the season. The next thing I want to talk about in Carolina is the offensive line, specifically the left tackle position. The offensive line in Carolina struggled mightily the last couple of years. This year, it looks like they maybe have a little bit of a more stable group, a little bit of a competition that they're trying to work through at left tackle to figure out who's going to be their starting guy there. But, you know, Pat Eflin, at left guard, Bradley Bozeman at center, Austin Corbett at right guard, Taylor Moten at right tackle. Those guys look locked in place to make the starting roster and, you know, be there as the starters in week one. What I want to talk about is the left tackle spot. Ike Ekwonu, the first-round pick out of NC State, drafted as a guard. I talked about on our draft show, he has that multi-positional versatility I love out of my offensive linemen. You're already seeing that to be the case so far throughout the, you know, first couple of days of Panthers training camp. They're already moving him over to left tackle and trying to see how he works there and maybe even gets a starting job at left tackle, battling it out right now with Brady Christensen. Those two keep switching on and off. Matt Rhule said today that pretty much Ike Ekwonu will have to earn his spot if he wants it in week one. So we'll see what it looks like for Ike against Brady Christensen. And we also have from Steve Reed, sports writer for the Associated Press in Charlotte, we have a tweet from him, which is a video of Ike Ekwonu talking about this left tackle battle between him and Brady Christensen. So let's see what Ike Ekwonu had to say about this battle.
I've been at left tackle pretty much all of camp, so I'm definitely comfortable there. You know, I played that in college, played that in high school as well, so I feel comfortable at left tackle. But I always said, you know, I can swing both sides. I feel like, you know, the coach needs me to play somewhere or bump inside of me when they do it.
What do you think about, you know, having that competition with Brady out there?
Yeah, it's been great. You know, that's something that we harped on the first day of practice, is competition every room here. So really, just the competition is going to bring the best out of every player that's out here. So I'm excited for that. You know, pushing me to be the best player I can be.
So there we have it there from Ike Ekwonu, a guy I really like. I mean, I love Ike, loved him coming into the draft, loved him at NC State. And he, you know, found a perfect home in Carolina. But it's going to be a battle, like he said, against him and Brady Christensen for that left tackle spot to be, you know, see who's going to be the starter in week one. I'm excited to see that battle continue to take place. And I'm excited to see, you know, Icky get a shot here at the start of the season and be able to try to do something here in, you know, terms of making a roster here at the beginning of the season. So with that being said, looks like we had a little bit of some buffering, but we're good to go. Moving on to the defense in Carolina. That's all we have for the offense. The defense in Carolina had a big upgrade today with J.C. Horn, second-year cornerback, last year first-round pick out of South Carolina. He was back today off the PUP list. He was in uniform, in the pads, ready to go at practice. So it's great to see him back. Because honestly, the first week without J.C. Horn, we're able to see a little bit of how thin the Carolina Panthers can be at the cornerback position. You know, they still have Dante Jackson, still have C.J. Henderson, who they traded for last year from the Jacksonville Jaguars. Dante and C.J. pretty much held it on. But when we got to that second and third team with the cornerbacks in Carolina, those guys struggled a little bit at times. So seeing J.C. Horn back out there today is, you know, big for the Carolina Panthers. And then you got, you know, Jeremy Chinn and Xavier Woods at safety. Those guys, you know, still looked great. Jeremy Chinn on Saturday got an interception, really jumped an out route off Sam Darnold, made a big play off him, got the crowd roaring a little bit. So those guys will, you know, form a pretty good secondary in this NFC South division. Brian Burns, you know, DB Derrick Brown, Yetur Gross-Matos, those type of guys on the defensive line will be great as well. The big thing for me on this defense is going to be Shaq Thompson. Dealing with an undisclosed knee injury, a non-football injury that he's trying to work back from. So we'll see if we can see Shaq back on the field. You know, obviously not practicing and in pretty much jeopardy of maybe not playing in week one. So it'll be interesting to see when we see Shaq back on the field in Carolina and if he gets things back rolling as soon as he can come back. So that's the big question mark in Carolina right now. On that defense, you talk about week one wise of what we're, you know, hoping to see. It's going to be Shaq Thompson coming back. With the offense, just the question marks, in my opinion, with the competitions. A lot of competitions on offense in Carolina this year leading up to the start of the season. Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold. Do we see some more work from Matt Corral throughout the rest of the offseason? That running back two spot, Deonta Foreman, Chuba Hubbard, who takes that role? And then the left tackle, Icky Mukwunu and Brady Christensen. How do those two get decided will be a big factor in the Carolina Panthers start of the season, at least, to see them get on the field. So that's the Carolina Panthers. That pretty much wraps up what we saw and also what we have been following from the beat reporters in Carolina. So shout out to everyone who was out there in Carolina, braving that, you know, Spartanburg heat all week long and back out there today as well. Keep doing the great work. Now we're going to switch it up and go to our next team who have a lot of, you know, headlining news, especially this last week throughout training camp. And it'll be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tampa Bay Buccaneers with Tom Brady have a lot of questions right now, mainly surrounding the center position. Ryan Jensen went down with a bad knee injury last week. It appears he will be out for the year. This was a tweet from last week from Ian Rappaport. While the Bucs await final word, the fears Pro Bowl center Ryan Jensen has suffered a season-ending knee injury, a likely frustrating end to his 2022. Tampa's options include internal with Robert Hainsey or external with J.C. Tretter, Matt Paradis, Billy Price, etc. So still no news on this front from the Buccaneers. It seems like they're, you know, should be interested in going out and getting an external option. I don't think that they'll go with Robert Hainsey, but I'm sure that's who they're rolling with as of right now in practice. But I do think, you know, J.C. Tretter could be a, you know, realistic option this week for the Bucs to look at signing to replace Ryan Jensen. So just an overall bad situation. It happens every year in training camp. Someone always goes down. So you hate to see it out of Ryan Jensen going down so early into the offseason. But life moves on, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this week have to figure something out of who's going to be snapping the ball to Tom Brady in practice this week and especially this season. Find out who's going to be their guy, who's going to be their starter come week one. So that's a big question on the mind right now in Tampa Bay. The next, you know, big thing and big headline, Julio Jones, welcome back to the NFC South, this time with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Signed with the Buccaneers last week on a one-year deal, joining Tom Brady. And oh my gosh, what a stacked wide receiver room the Tampa Bay Buccaneers now have this year. You talk about Mr. Reliable, Mike Evans, who has had 1,000-yard seasons, I think, every season of his career. We had big news last week of Chris Godwin being back at practice. You have, you know, a lot of great reports about Russell Gage as well in this offense. And now you add in Julio Jones. So Julio Jones now working in with this Buccaneers squad, with this Buccaneers offense in Tampa Bay, you know, with Tom Brady. Julio Jones is just an incredible guy, an incredible athlete. And, I mean, we've seen a 30-year-old wide receiver team back up with Tom Brady and Randy Moss in New England. Had a lot of great success. So we'll see if maybe that happens again. We'll see if we can pull it up here. Greg Allman on Twitter. Here we go. Get some, you know, training camp looks here. Tom Brady to Julio Jones today at practice. We'll see what's happening here in Tampa Bay with these two connecting. So there we go. Getting the connection down, getting the chemistry down. Julio Jones and Tom Brady. So I'm excited. Freaking excited about Julio Jones and Tampa Bay. I hated it as a Packers fan, but still, you cannot deny the absolute talent that is on the field now in Tampa Bay at this wide receiver room. Offensively, they're still trying to work out some kinks, like I said, on that offensive line. Play off Lenny. Still trying to get Slim back down, get back into shape, but it looks like he is on the right track. Something I do want to talk about in Tampa Bay as well is also, you know, the depth at running back. This one, behind Leonard Fournette, and how big of a factor are these guys going to be? Because Leonard Fournette had a lot of, carry load last year that he had to put on with this running back, you know, room in Tampa Bay. But, you know, behind Leonard Fournette this year, they got Keyshawn Vaughn, Giovanni Bernard, and rookie Rashad White. Rashad White has been getting, you know, a lot of good reviews out of training camp. Interested to see how well a rookie running back works with Tom Brady and starts, you know, trying to get into the fold. But Giovanni Bernard, he's still the guy that you think would get all the passing game work. Do they try to use Keyshawn Vaughn this year? But it looks like, you know, Fournette seems to have a strong lock on a lot of the target share this year and a lot of the snap count share this year again. And Tampa Bay at this running back position. But still one to monitor is, you know, the rookie Rashad White to see if he eventually gets onto the field. How much of an impact that he will have in year one in Tampa Bay. And the other thing as well, just talking about some more weapons that Tom Brady has in his offense. Bringing in Kyle Rudolph, I believe 2 weeks ago, working with Cameron Brate at tight end. You got Cade Otton, the rookie tight end. And also, I mean, is Rob Gronkowski going to come back? You know, you'd have to think Thanksgiving, you know, once the season's starting to wind down. Tom Brady's been calling him for a couple of weeks. Rob Gronkowski's in great shape. I think Tom Brady comes back this year. Once again, later in the season, you know, towards November, getting closer to December, Rob Gronkowski's going to start getting a little bit antsy. He's going to try to come back onto the field potentially. I think that's going to be the case with Tom Brady. And, you know, he's going to get his best friend back on the field. It'll just be another weapon for this Buccaneers offense to implement towards the end of the season, maybe, you know, towards the playoffs, towards, you know, January as well with this Tampa Bay squad. Surely look like locks right now to take home this division. But still, I mean, there's a lot of stuff to talk about. Returning head coach Todd Bowles, former head coach of the New York Jets. He is taking the reins now in Tampa Bay from Bruce Arians. So how is Todd Bowles going to do? Once again, being a head coach again. And this defense, you know, they look as great as ever in Tampa Bay. Adding in Akeem Hicks to that defensive line with Vita Vea. Those guys are, you know, going to be an absolute insane tandem in the interior of that defensive line. And then you got, you know, Shaq Barrett and Joe Tyron on the edge. Devin White and Lavonte David. Still one of the best linebacker duos in the National Football League. Jamel Dean, Carlton Davis, Antoine Winfield in the secondary, and now you're adding in Logan Ryan and Keanu Neal also at safety. this defense is stacked from top to bottom in Tampa Bay. They're going to be absolutely incredible. And, you know, really just pestering the rest of this division. It has a lot of offensive questions and issues that they're going to have to work through throughout the entire season. Tampa Bay looks locked and loaded and ready to go for yet another season. And even the offensive line. Donovan Smith, Andre Steening at left guard, Shaq Mason at right guard, Tristan Wirfs, all those guys are incredible. They just got to find that last piece to the puzzle at center. Like I said, maybe a J.C. Treader they try to bring in this week. This team's just going to be, you know, loaded as their, you know, 53-man roster goes into the start of the season. So ultimately, we're just watching the Julio Jones highlights in Tampa Bay right now is the offseason agenda of what we're looking out for with the Buccaneers. So that's the Buccaneers. Let's switch up and talk about our next team now. This one I'm kind of excited to talk about, just some, you know, some new changes and some returning players coming into it, some new players coming into it. But it's going to be the New Orleans Saints. And the big thing I'm excited about in New Orleans has to be Jameis Winston. I mean, a guy 5-2 last year as a starting quarterback, a new team last year, had a, you know, terrific start to the season, and an unfortunate ACL injury took him out last year. So he's coming back this year. He looks great back on the field in Tampa Bay, or excuse me, in New Orleans. And the other thing in New Orleans is Michael Thomas back on the practice field. It was great to see Michael Thomas back and practicing for the first time in a long time in New Orleans. But Michael Thomas being back, you know, the slant king himself is going to be a huge boost for Jameis Winston and this offense, and also the new additions to that wide receiver room. You know, bringing in Jarvis Landry in free agency helped, you know, him returning home back to Louisiana. And then you have first-round pick Chris Olave, a guy they traded up for in the first round. You knew, you know, pretty much the entire draft process, I knew that Chris Olave had a lot of interest in New Orleans, and on draft day, that one was pretty much a lock for me, is that they're going to go up and get him. Today, he had a big play, pretty much got behind the defense, and Jameis Winston hit him in stride. And just Chris Olave is going to be a menace, and, you know, teaming up with these other guys as well. I mean, getting back, like I said, Michael Thomas in this offense, bringing in, here we go, this bomb, Jameis Winston bomb to Chris Olave. Let's pull this one up here for you guys if you missed this one from practice today. So Jameis Winston, you know, drops back, looks, fires deep, and look at that. I mean, no one even around Chris Olave, absolutely taking the top off the defense, exactly what we saw from him at Ohio State, already doing it in New Orleans with this offense. So I'm excited about all these receivers in Tampa Bay, or excuse me, New Orleans, not Tampa Bay. Excited about these receivers in New Orleans and the impact that they're going to have with Jameis Winston. I mean, a complete overhaul in terms of what they're, you know, bringing in. Pretty much, you know, Michael Thomas coming back, three pretty much new wide receivers that are now starters on this team this year compared to what we saw last year with this team. So I'm excited about that and what they can do. Some questions a little bit on the offensive line in New Orleans. A lot of rotation going on throughout training camp, trying to find the right pieces. Trevor Penning working a little bit, maybe at, you know, left tackle being a starter. Their other first round pick that they had, you know, Eric McCoy, Ryan Ramczyk, Cesar Ruiz, those guys are going to be locked in place as well. Maybe, you know, Andres Pete at left guard keeps his job throughout training camp as well, you would have to think. So again, that left tackle spot, maybe a little bit of some questions there throughout training camp to see how that, you know, position shakes out in terms of who's going to be the starter there. The other big question, and we also, I mean, I don't want to say got some answers on, pretty much more questions and some more waiting today, is the Alvin Kamara front with a potential suspension. What's going to happen there? So we'll pull up a tweet here from Underdog's own Hayden Winks, you know, retweeting this one from David Charnes. None of the four defendants are in court. Their attorneys are. All the lawyers are asking for a 60-day status check. No action today. So what that means today was supposed to be maybe some more legal news on the Alvin Kamara case with the incident in Las Vegas that happened a couple months back. Still no legal, you know, answer of what's going to come. And of course, the NFL always waits for the legal situation to be settled first before coming in and, you know, implementing any type of punishment, fines, suspensions, that, you know, type of punishment on a player until the legal situation has been handled first. So Hayden Winks here says here the Alvin Kamara case is being delayed again. He can be put or get put on leave slash suspended at any time still. Video could be released or case gets pled out, but trending towards not missing time early. So that's big for the New Orleans Saints, but it's not final for the Saints this year and Alvin Kamara. So still some questions to be answered there on the Kamara front, but it looks like, you know, should be able to get Kamara back early and, you know, not have him miss any time in training camp, which would be big for this team. So Alvin Kamara getting on the field early this season will be great. We'll see how long he stays on the field this season, if anything happens there, but they have a lot of insurance just in case. You know, Mark Ingram, Malcolm Brown, Tony Jones at running back, all quality guys who have had a lot of reps at the running back position and a lot of opportunities in New Orleans. So those guys should be able to potentially hold down the fort if Alvin Kamara ends up getting knocked with a suspension at some point this season. So now the defense, switch over to there. Talk about the defense now in New Orleans and, you know, what some situations that we're seeing there with the Saints defense. A lot of nickel looks going on potentially in New Orleans, something we haven't seen a lot of with this Saints team and the Saints defense starting to get the works in. Last week, I haven't seen too much of some, you know, notes coming out, but the defensive rotation notes from last week, Saints rolled out a nickel look for the first time in training camp, featuring Cam Jordan, David Onyemata, Shy Tuttle, Carl Granderson along the defensive line, Eric Wilson, DeMario Davis at linebacker, C.J. Gardner-Johnson was in the slot, Paulson Adebo and Marshawn Lattimore on the outside cornerback spots, P.J. Williams and Marcus May were the starting tandem at safety. Of course, at safety as well, the Saints will have Tyrann Mathieu currently dealing with some personal matter right now. So the Saints are, you know, being, you know, hands off, waiting on him to, you know, get the matters, you know, solved and resolved, and, you know, everything figured out there in terms of getting him back on the field. So they're playing it, you know, slow in New Orleans with Tyrann Mathieu right now, trying to get him back at training camp, just allowing him to take his time, do what he needs to do in order to get back into it. So just, you know, the interesting thing is that nickel look that they're showing out, like I said, for that first time at training camp, maybe some nickel looks on the way in New Orleans. But they still have some, you know, absolute stars on this defense and, you know, added in three new safeties, Daniel Sorensen, Marcus May, and Tyrann Mathieu this offseason to team up with, you know, the weapons they already have, Cam Jordan, Marcus Davenport, DeMario Davis, Marshawn Lattimore. They got a lot of, you know, star talent on this defense that at times can struggle. So we'll see what happens this year with the Saints. If this offense can put it on, the Saints defense, they get back into shape. I mean, even added in Bradley Roby for some insurance at the cornerback spot as well. You know, something that has hurt the Saints defense in the past. So it seems like they're on the right direction in terms of what they're doing with the, you know, with the defense and the offense. They look great on the field right now. So that's the Saints. Also a new head coach there in New Orleans, Dennis Allen. How is he going to fare in his, you know, first year on the job as a head coach? And the one thing, you know, with the Saints, I do see them as a wild card team this season. I'd see them getting into the mix and getting back into the playoffs potentially this year. So we'll see how that shakes up once we start, you know, crunching the numbers, crunching these games toward the end of, you know, our agenda right now of the offseason agenda leading up to our NFL, you know, record predictions, standing predictions that we're going to, you know, go, like I said at the beginning, game by game with. So I do see the Saints as a, you know, team that could be a contender here. Maybe, you know, maybe for the division even. I think that they're the biggest rival right now with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers who look like the easy favorite right now in this division, but I wouldn't sleep on the Saints making some noise here. You know, both units, offense and defense, can get hot at the right time. They can start making some noise and start piecing some games and going on a little bit of a run throughout the season. So, you know, be on the lookout for that. I will say, you know, for certain, this team looks like a wild card team right now of what they have in place with this team. The other thing, you know, Taysom Hill already hurt right now in Tampa Bay, or excuse me, in New Orleans. I keep saying in Tampa Bay, but in New Orleans, Taysom Hill already hurt, suffered a rib injury last week in practice. We'll see what the timetable for him will be getting back. Doesn't seem anything, you know, serious, but he will, of course, have to miss some time. Yeah, reports today, no Taysom Hill so far as well. Also, no Marcus Davenport at practice today in New Orleans. So that's what we have with the Saints. Ultimately, I'm just excited for this wide receiver room again, and we'll have to see, you know, what happens with this Alvin Kamara potential suspension that might be on the way. We don't really know for certain with that group. So nevertheless, that's what we have for the New Orleans Saints. So we have one more team to discuss. Looks like we're going to get out here a tad bit early on today's episode. We have one more unit and one more team to break down with this NFC South divisional season preview, and that will be the Atlanta Falcons. How about some Dirty Bird talk here on the Slaw Sports Show? The Atlanta Falcons also strutting out a new quarterback this year in Marcus Mariota, has already won the starting job early in camp. I think like the first week, pretty much got the nod that he is going to be the starter this season. It was, you know, maybe a little bit of some controversy going against rookie Desmond Ridder out of Cincinnati, but Marcus Mariota, the veteran, he gets a nod as a starter in Atlanta. So how will Marcus Mariota look as the quarterback one again? You know, he had some games last year with the Raiders, but really his entire time with the Raiders was a little bit of, you know, splashes here and there. But every time it seemed like he got on the field, he was able to make some plays in Vegas and, you know, get the ball moving when they are in a bind. When Derek Carr would go down, when Derek Carr would, you know, miss a game completely, Marcus Mariota was able to come in and, you know, make some plays. So I'm excited to see him back as a starter. I thought he might have had a bad rap in Tennessee, and I want to see him try to get another opportunity with a starting job. He has that now in Atlanta, for better or for worse, with this team. But being back on the field and back in the reins is, you know, a good thing for Marcus Mariota. So I'm excited to see what he can do with this unit. And you know, with this new team, and that type of offense, working with Arthur Smith in that type of situation. So that is what we have at the quarterback room. It's going to be a long shot, I think, to see Desmond Ridder this season. I mean, if and only if Marcus Mariota absolutely struggles, we might potentially see Desmond Ridder, take the field. We're trying to get some stuff pulled up here. I think Marcus Mariota, if he absolutely struggles, you're gonna have to take him out and put in Desmond Ridder at some point. But, this team is going to be a struggling team in Atlanta this year. They're going to have some ups. They're going to have a lot more downs this year. And I honestly think that they might be finishing as the worst team right now, if I had to think about up ahead to our predictions. The Atlanta Falcons, I think, are going to be the worst team in the National Football League this year and have that number one pick. So is it even going to be Desmond Ridder next year at quarterback? If they, you know, move on from Mariota after one season, they're going to have that number one pick with some, you know, a good quarterback class coming in. Maybe, you know, Will Anderson will be an option here in Atlanta. Some defensive help potentially on the way next season. I do think it's going to be a bad year with the Atlanta Falcons, but they got some, you know, opportunity to look at a lot of great guys and a lot of big guys that they have on this roster, especially at the wide receiver position. Of course, the big news right now with the Deshaun Watson suspension today, everyone's going back and talking about Calvin Ridley and his suspension. A full season suspension for, you know, betting last year. That's going to be the case. in Atlanta. So what I'm looking forward to, you know, with no Calvin Ridley this year, is the rookie wide receiver, Drake London out of USC. But I mean, honestly, they got some size at the wide receiver position. And honestly, in terms of all their weapons on this offense, Drake London, Bryan Edwards, Auden Tate, Olamide Zaccheaus, Kyle Pitts, even Cordell Patterson, who, you know, is their starting running back. All guys who have a lot of big size and are absolutely great after the catch. Those guys look incredible. This is what we're going to try to pull up. What we're trying to pull up last year was a big, earlier, what we're trying to pull up earlier was a big play from Kyle Pitts, Drake London. Drake London from last week's practice that we're going to try to pull up. So a big play here, getting a little bit of some separation, but ultimately high pointing a ball, contested catch, 50-50, getting a touchdown there late last week in practice. So a big play from Drake London. I'm excited to see what he can do with this offense this year in his first year in Atlanta. So some size, some yards after the catch. That's what they're really valuing with this wide receiver room. And especially, you know, Kyle Pitts, you hope to see, you know, more touchdowns. You'd honestly would hope to see it from Kyle Pitts this season. Hope to see him get into the end zone a lot more. But ultimately, the big thing with this offense, I think, is going to be trying to get a look at Tyler Allgeier at running back. That's what I'm watching out for right now, especially toward the start of the season. The rookie fifth round pick out of BYU. But, you know, he's got some, you know, snap competition with Damian Williams to think about here. But it seems like out of all the reports that Tyler Allgeier is the lead running back, you know, more, you know, stereotypical running back in this offense. You know, with Cordell Patterson also going to be taking some snaps there as well from time to time. And, you know, we'll probably get the most snaps at running back. But the, you know, more stereotypical running back role you would think would go to Tyler Allgeier. So I'm excited to see, you know, both of the rookies getting onto the field in Atlanta, and Drake London and Tyler Allgeier as well. Now this defense, in Atlanta is going to be the one to keep an eye on and very troublesome. You know, Grady Jarrett, he looks great. Deion Jones, trying to get him back onto the field in training camp right now. AJ Terrell, those guys locked in place. They're your guys on defense in Atlanta. What they need to do is figure out some of their other guys. You know, they look great at safety with Jalen Hawkins and Richie Grant. Those two guys, I think, are going to be pretty good. But I think, you know, this defense might end up this year taking over and not being the backbone of this team finally. I think that they have a lot more issues on offense and defense in Atlanta this year. I mean, Marlon Davidson, Arnold Ebenike, Rashawn Evans. They brought in some guys, you know, Casey Hayward coming in as well at cornerback. So I think that, you know, it might be the final time that Atlanta, you know, the defense in Atlanta is not going to be the issue. I do want to see a big standout guy that is, you know, not, you know, the veteran Grady Jarrett and, you know, not their star cornerback AJ Terrell. I want to see someone else be a star here on this defense. And, you know, Deion Jones, you know, he is probably going to be a very reliable running back for Atlanta this year. You'd have to, you know, have to hope with the veteran that he is, unless he could be, you know, potentially on the move. But we're gonna have to see a lot of improvement from this Falcons defense this season. And we do have a quote we do want to get to from defensive coordinator Dean Pease from post-practice today. This is coming from Miles Garrett, Elon alum Miles Garrett, working with Fox 5 Atlanta, covering the Atlanta Falcons right now in training camp. Miles Garrett, a, you know, friend of the show, former guest on the show. So we'll see, you know, pull this up here and see what Dean Pease had to say about this defense in Atlanta.
We're changing a culture around this daggone place, okay? And it's not going to be mediocre. It's not going to be average. It's not going to be in the bottom half of the league like it's been 15 out of the last 20 years. Sick of that crap. We got to take charge, and it ain't going to be anybody else to do it but us, okay? I'm tired of everybody telling us how bad we are. After a while, you start believing it. Just like you tell you, you never tell your children and stuff like, hey, you guys, you don't, you get mad at a teacher that says, you know, telling some kid he's stupid, right? You don't ever tell somebody that, because pretty soon they start believing it. Guys around here on defense sometimes believe hey, 15th is okay or whatever. I've been in the top 10 one time out of the last 20 years. That bullshit's over. Okay? Sorry, I'm getting fired up today, but I'm tired of this crap. We're going to change the culture of the defense around this freaking place. People are going to start talking about Atlanta defense like they did at Baltimore, like they did at New England. It's going to be the same shit around here.
So there you go. I mean, defense coordinator in Atlanta is obviously, you know, fighting mad. He said we're going to change the culture of this defense around this freaking place. He wants to be, you know, one of the defenses like the Patriots, like the Ravens. That's a lot of, you know, high praise and high expectations and, you know, high, you know, energy and everything coming from the defensive coordinator in Atlanta. So I'm excited to see some changes. You know, it finally seems like they have a guy in there now. Who's, you know, ready to just put his foot down with this defense and, you know, get them figured out and on the right track in Atlanta. So I'm excited to see that on the way with the Falcons. The other thing with the Falcons to talk about real quick before we get out of here is the offensive line. They do have three spots up for grab at left guard, center, and right tackle. So we'll start with left guard. Jalen Mayfield's battling it out right now. They're, you know, working in maybe Jermaine Ifedi at right tackle, maybe working him in. Justin Schaefer at left guard, battling with Jalen Mayfield. Drew Dowman trying to battle for a spot. And then, you know, right now, you know, what's penciled in, you know, in place right now is Matt Hennessy, Chris Lindstrom, Caleb McCrady, and Jalen Mayfield. So Matt Hennessy, Jalen Mayfield, Caleb McCrady. Those guys battling with spots right now with Drew Dowman, Justin Schaefer, and Jermaine Ifedi to see how this, you know, starting offensive line shakes out in Atlanta. That's the last thing that we had to talk about with the Falcons. So ultimately, Arthur Smith potentially has a, you know, bad season on the way. Like I said, this is going to be a big market spot for Will Anderson to potentially land with in the first round of next year's draft. I do think the Falcons have one of the worst records in the National Football League. We'll see if we have them placed actually as the worst, but they're definitely a bottom three unit, you know, top to bottom on the roster in the National Football League this year. And, you know, Marcus Mariota, as much as I'm high on him and, you know, wishing him to have success this year, at the same time, we got to be, you know, understanding of what we should expect from this Falcons team and from, you know, Mariota at quarterback, from this offense. And like I said, this defense, it seems like they have that fire on them right now. To really push, you know, the tone and, you know, switch that tone on this defense and, you know, get back into shape. So that's what we have for the NFC South. Like I said, the favorites right now is that Tampa Bay Buccaneers squad. They look great, you know, hungry and have a lot of, you know, big pieces that want to go on, you know, one more Super Bowl run. It seems like before they eventually turn the reins over in Tampa Bay. And then New Orleans Saints, they look like a hot spot to be the big contender to take on the Buccaneers for this start, you know, for this job in this top spot in this division and a potential wild card team. The sleeper team is going to be the Carolina Panthers. We don't know what's going to happen with the Panthers. They could be a 5-win team again for the third straight year, or they could surprise a lot of people this year with Baker Mayfield at the helm, you would have to think, in Carolina. And a big thing there has to be Christian McCaffrey staying on the field. Like I said, that team's a lot better with him and a lot worse without him in Carolina. So that is the NFC South breakdown. Thank you all for stopping by. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll have the AFC North to discuss later this week. We'll probably, you know, try to get that on Friday, fit that in on Friday to cap off the end of the week, and then have one more division after that next week in the NFC North to discuss as well. So we finally talk about the, you know, favorite team of the channel here, the Green Bay Packers, last but not least on the channel here. But thank you all for stopping by. Thank you all for tuning in. Those of you still sticking around on YouTube, if you have not subscribed and you'd like to, you know, enjoy the episode, you like the content, you want to, you know, get involved and, you know, join, you know, the council here on the Slaw Sports Show, hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell, even hit, you know, smash the like button as well. It would mean a lot. But thank you all for joining. If you missed any part of today's episode, it will be posted on the YouTube channel and also posted on the podcast as well at Slaw Sports Show. So in the meantime, thank you all for watching. Thank you all for tuning in. And until next time, peace.